Oh, we have on both coasts of the African continent, both on the west coast and on the east coast, we have actually substantial terrorist threats, primarily at this point for the region, but inevitably this will, grow out of that region and become a threat for us directly or more directly than it already is. On the west coast, you have massive affiliates, both of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, rolling rampant in several countries. And on the East Coast, you have the largest in terms of size of fighters and influence, Al-Qaeda affiliate on the globe with Al-Shabaab, who is positioning itself to potentially take over Somalia next year when the African Union troops, who are still on the ground in Somalia in support of the government of Somalia, are scheduled to withdraw. So we may yet see if things are not fundamentally shifting until that time. A repeat of the Afghanistan situation, African style now, where a insurgency type group that is, however, strongly allied to Al-Qaeda is going to take over a government.
Hans, this is a really concerning scenario that you've laid out. These major threats on both coasts seem to be, I guess, in a perfect terrorism world, they would sort of squeeze the continent eventually, moving further and further inland and taking advantage of more and more vulnerable places. How might the terrorist exploit the current problems that the continent already faces, including the organized crime situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to understand that these are just the biggest groups, right? So there are smaller groups in operating ISIL loyal in Mozambique, in parts of the Congo, in the north of Uganda. So there are already dots in between the east and west coast, and the west coast is ever getting bigger, right? So we are talking now Burkina Faso, Mali, Nigeria, as well as after the military coup, now increasingly Niger as well, where these groups are really growing at a very alarming pace. Luckily, there is still a lot of geographical space between them and the East Coast, but both threats seem to be coalescing inwards. And therefore, we do have a very serious situation in Africa. This is, of course, overlaid by a couple of very, very long-standing and some more recent fault lines that exist in that part of Africa. So the long-standing conflict has been for centuries between the nomadic, more Arab ethnic type groups in Africa, in that part of Africa, and the urbanized, more African ethnic groups in Africa. And there, settlements and their nomadic pastures being cut through after decolonization by these national borders that decolonization created. And so there's always been a conflict. That, however, has exacerbated or been exacerbated by the fact that the effects of climate change are very visible in Africa, which means the pastures in which the nomads can herd their herds are getting smaller, and they push into the settled communities further south in the countries. And so that creates a conflict. That creates also a rampant attempt to have separatist movements carve out new political spaces in several of the countries at the same time. Just look at Somalia and Eritrea and the Tigray conflict, now North and South Somalia. In Mali, the north and south, in Burkina Faso, the north and south. And that is infused now with this Al-Qaeda slash Islamic State ideology. That led to a real serious governance crisis, in particular at this point in West Africa. You have, I'm sure, seen all of this wave of military coups that we saw in that region. It's simply breaking down of governance structures that existed since independence. And that creates, on the other hand, a perfect operational space for transnational organized crimes. So, on the one hand, we do have a massive flow of drugs from South America to Europe and Asia that goes through West Africa. That is very much helped by the complete security chaos that happens at that point. We do have a quite substantial illicit economy where everything gets smuggled from weapons to humans to other materials, timbers. The wildlife trade is, the illicit wildlife trade is picking up in these regions. So that creates a maelstrom of overlapping interlinking problems that is extremely hard to tackle, and to our own detriment, and even more to the detriment of the people who have to live in that region, we've neglected that. That, on the other hand, causes a significantly increased migrant flow northwards, which then creates a trafficker and smuggler community, which earns billions smuggling these poor souls northwards towards Europe. So it's really every single problem that you have in a nutshell is lived out in Africa at this point, apart from the great power competition where both China as well as Russia are trying to push into countries that traditionally have been a European and American allies.
Well, Hans, this is an extraordinary amount of misfortune. I mean, what you've laid out here is, I mean, this is, as you said, every problem that exists on the planet is hyper focused on Africa at this point. Is there any way out of any of this?
Well, difficult. I mean, we have been, as Europe and the US have been, on the back foot for quite a while because we simply didn't pay enough attention. As you have seen, all of these military coups had one primary effect, is that both the French as well as the European forces have been asked to leave by these governments. Now, there is a lot of criticism that one could make about the behavior of French forces or the French policy towards Africa francophone. But the end result is it is going to be, or is replaced by Russia, in particular Wagner, which is for a military coup government a not unideal situation, because Wagner's primarily focus and expertise is in securing the regime's existence, not in creating governance structures, not primarily in fighting terrorism, but making sure that the government who is in power remains in power and alive. That's what they know, and that's what they do very effectively. The problem is the price that's paid for this by these, I would say, rather ruthless governments who call Wagner to their aid, is of course that Wagner always gets paid in national resources. So the one criticism of the West and France in particular in West Africa, but also the rest of the West in the other parts of Africa, is that our economic relationships with these countries were always lopsided. So we gained more than they did. We gave them aid, but we also got a lot of natural resources at very discounted prices. Now, the problem with Wagner is there is no discounted prices. They get all of the natural resources. That's the payment. And if there happens to be a local community who, you know, has ambitions to also exploit those natural resources, Wagner usually gives them a second to think, and then they're either gone or they're going to be dead, which exacerbated again the conflict. So I'm not sure how we can put this rather shattered Humpty Dumpty back together at this point. There are a couple of things that are urgently necessary. A, Somalia and the withdrawal of the African Union troops is a serious issue, and there needs to be an alternative security structure in place in order to make sure that their withdrawal doesn't result in the Afghanistan situation. On the other hand, we have in West Africa still a couple of the coastal states who are still okay in their, as far as their stability is concerned, and willing to cooperate with us. These need to be supported and stabilized so that at least we prevent the southwards trend of terrorism. And they clearly want to get to the coast because that's where all the drugs land. And it's much easier if you are involved in the drug trade, if you control the entire chain of transport from the harbor to the harbor on the other side of the continent. So that needs to be prevented, because that would mean then transnational organized crime and terrorism fuse completely, which would be a really dire situation for everyone concerned. And the last couple of countries that stand between us and the chaos in East Africa, in particular Ghana, need to be supported.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler is Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. Gigi Green, WTOP News.